Octavian begins his rule of Egypt. Now, Octavian, before Cleopatra had died, was, of course, running Alexandria. And he had given a big speech at the gymnasium to the people of Alexandria. Now, he promised them that he would be lenient to the people of Alexandria because of a lot of reasons. One is the city was just so splendid. Second, that it was founded by Alexander the Great. Octavian very much liked Alexander. And he also did it to please his own teacher. Octavian's teacher and advisor on Egyptian affairs was Arius, who was the Alexandrian philosopher. Well, while in Egypt, why not take in the sights? So Octavian visited Alexander's tomb. He had the thing, the coffin open that was glass, had the sword of Alexander removed so he could use it, and somehow or another managed to accidentally break off part of Alexander's nose. That's the way it goes. There are some stories that it didn't happen, but what the heck, you know, when you're fumbling around taking a sword out of a guy's hand, you probably bump some things. Now, he wouldn't visit Egyptian temples. He said he revered gods, not animals. Actually, he revered gods, not bulls. But he also refused to visit the tombs of the Ptolemies because he didn't want any connection whatsoever with the Ptolemaic kingdoms. Romans are Romans. Eastern emperors are Eastern emperors. Okay, so we got all the kids. So what happens to Caesarion? Or Ptolemy the 15th Caesar. Remember, he was supposed to be heading to Egypt. He was supposed to flee south with the intention of eventually making his way to the Red Sea and then on to India. Well, he's betrayed. He's betrayed by his tutor, Rhodon. Ptolemy the 15th Caesar was either murdered on the road, which is most likely, or lured to Alexandria and killed. Antyllus, the oldest son of Antony and Cleopatra, was also killed. He was hiding in the temple dedicated to Caesar, the Caesareum, and they dragged him from the Caesareum and then beheaded him. Attilus was also betrayed by his tutor, Theodorus. They had tutors messing with these people. However, Theodorus tried to make off with a necklace and some things that had precious stones that had been on Antyllus, and he got caught. So Octavian had him crucified, so he got his just desserts. Then we have other casualties. The last two assassins of Julius Caesar, Cassius of Parma and Tullius, were killed. You have Quintus Ovinius, who was a Roman senator who managed Cleopatra's wool mill. I guess he ticked off the big Octavian, and he was killed. Candius Crassus, who had been the commander of Antony's army, was killed. Then Octavian claimed that he spared all Roman citizens who survived the civil war who asked to be pardoned. I'm assuming these other people did not ask to be pardoned. Octavian spared Antony's children except for Antyllus and the other children, no matter who their mother was. Now, Antonius, which was one of his early wives, had a daughter named Antonia, and she was dead now, but she had a daughter, Pythodorus, and they married her off. They first married her off to Polemo of Pontus, and then after he died, she was married off to Archelaus of Cappadocia. So that girl was married. Fulvia's son, Ulius Antonius, was taken care of by Octavia. That's Octavian's sister who was married to Mark Antony. Unfortunately, 28 years later, after this period, he was forced to commit suicide for having sex with Octavian's daughter, Julia, during her orgy period. Well, that's just a wild time. Ulius Antonius had two sons, but they both died in exile, and so that ended the male line of Mark Antony. Then Octavia, that's Octavian's sister, who was the political marriage, their daughters, the oldest daughter became the mother, of course, the Emperor Nero. The youngest daughter became the mother of Emperor Claudius and the grandmother of Caligula. Win some, lose some. Now, the children by Cleopatra. Well, of course, Ptolemy 15 Caesar was killed and Antyllus was killed. So Cleopatra Selene was actually carried in Octavian's triumph in Rome, and then she was married off to King Juba II of Numidia, who's quite an interesting character. And as a result, also received a bonus. They gave him the kingdom of Mauritania at the same time. Their son Ptolemy ruled from 23 to 40 AD, but he's executed by his cousin, Emperor Caligula. Alexander Helios was brought back from Media and marched in the triumph with his sister. Alexander Helios and the younger brother, Ptolemy Philadelphus, that's a nice name, Philadelphus. Kids would kill you for it, but just rolls off your tongue. They were spared and actually given the Cleopatra Selene and Juba. And then they just disappear from the historical record. So they either kept a really, really, really low profile, or the family got rid of them. Of course, Egypt is now annexed by Rome after almost 300 years of Ptolemaic rule. But Egypt is not going to be just like any other province. The other provinces are under a senator-appointed governor by the state. No, not Egypt. Egypt is under the control of a knight. A knight is someone who's ineligible for official political career in Rome, and they will then personally be selected by the emperor. So quite frankly, it's an imperial province. And actually, under Octavian / Augustus, you need imperial permission to visit it. So you have to be careful. Now, the first governor of the imperial province of Egypt is the guy who went with the other gentleman to capture Cleopatra, Cornelius Gallius, who was both a general and a poet. So you can write and kill at the same time. Now, he held a different title. He was not the governor of Egypt. He was the praefectus, the prefect of Egypt. Now, he did a lot of stuff. There was a little rebellion. He crushed a rebellion at Hermopolis in Upper Egypt. And I better make you aware of this. Upper Egypt is not the northern half of Egypt. Upper Egypt is the southern half of Egypt, closer to the Nile source. Lower Egypt's where it flows out, and the Nile River flows out in the Mediterranean. Now, he pushed the Egyptian frontier beyond the first cataract. Cataracts, a series of rapids and rocks in the Nile River. And then he created a buffer state between the first and second cataract, because there are people in the south, Aksum, Ethiopia, and other places that are a threat. And he also at one time had loose control of Ethiopia. The problem with Cornelius Gallius is himself. The job went to his head in 26 BC, and he became arrogant, so he was recalled and forced to commit suicide. Well, it's either chop your head off or do it yourself. So he chose to commit suicide. Now, Rome actually treats Egypt a little worse than the Ptolemies did, and they milked it pretty well. Enough grain was sent from Egypt every year to feed the entire city of Rome for 4 months. They also imported sand for the games. Egyptian sand was much more absorbent, so you didn't have to change the sand in the gladiator rings and stuff quite as frequently. They also gathered up all kinds of animals and all sorts of other things. So with the death of Cleopatra and Antony and Octavian now in charge, the Roman Civil War is finally over. And what you have now is the beginning of the era of Pax Augusta, or you know, sometimes we call this Pax Romana, but this is going to be the peace of Augustus. So the sources for this, the same ones that I've been using, the Biography of Cleopatra by Grant and a variety of other sources,